because it was the only way I could hear Radhe Shyam Prabhu and Gauranga Prabhu speak. So I had my speaker was on. I was sitting and listening to this wonderful katha. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jana Baldaba Giri Vadadhari Gopi Jana Baldaba Giri Vadadhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Panachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Bhakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunatham Bitham Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Binda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Gauranga Prabhu just told me tonight's topic. Establishing Ram Raj within. First of all, I would like to express my very sincere gratitude to all of you for attending tonight's program. I feel very much honored and blessed to have the opportunity to serve you all by speaking some words on this subject. How to establish Ram Raj within. Until people establish Raj Ram within, there is no possibility of doing so without. The Lord descends to this world especially to teach us how to fulfill this most important mission in all of life. To realize that the kingdom of God is within our own hearts. This is a universal principle. In the Bible, it is also said the kingdom of God is within. Krishna tells in Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivashto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha, that he is seated within the heart of every living being. He's the source of knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance. Wherever the Lord is, that is the kingdom of God. Ram is dwelling within us. But why? Why we don't feel him? Why we don't love him? Why we don't see him? How to revive that original consciousness that is within us all is the subject of all the great scriptures. This evening, we'd like to discuss a few incidents and characters from the Ramayana which teach us practically, as well as philosophically and ideologically, how to establish Raj Ram within. How many of you know the story of Ramayana, at least to some extent? Anyway. So we know how Ram was living with Sita in Ayodhya. Dasarath planned to coronate Lord Ram the next day as the prince regent. he who would be next king of Ayodhya. Everyone celebrated, including Kaikeyi. She was as happy as anybody else in Ayodhya because she loved Ram. She loved Ram as much as she loved her own son, Bharat. And Ram loved her. But then that hunchbacked maidservant named Mantara, she convinced Kaikeyi that the reason Dasarath wants to put Ram as king is because he favors another wife. And what will happen after this? Because your son is more qualified, your son will be banished. And whatever you have will be lost. Now, how could Kaikeyi possibly believe that? She was with Ram practically every day of his life. She saw his perfect virtues, his pure heart, his total selflessness, and his love for her. But Valmiki Muni and Lord Ram himself wants to teach us the power of bad association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cited a beautiful teaching. How to attain perfection? Seek the association of saintly persons. Avoid intimate association of people who are too much egotistical and worldly-minded. That's the beginning. Because we have become so much affected by what we associate with and who we associate with. It's the law of nature. Prabhupada said you put an iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. You put an iron rod in ice, it becomes cold like ice. We are very much influenced by our association. So in that association, she became envious of Ram. She became wicked, vicious. And affected Dasarath so deeply that he was to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years. And make Bharat king. Now, when Ram heard about this, he was going to be the next king the next day. He was not concerned with the position. He was only being a king to serve his father, and that's all. It was a higher service to his father to go to the forest for 14 years. Because his father gave his word to Kaikeyi. This is a principle of how to establish Ram Raj within. We should be attached to service, not to position. We should be attached to doing the right thing, not to what we'll get out of it. Another thing we could learn from this is, although it's such a traumatic, heartbreaking incident of Ramayana, is Kaikeyi is banishing Ram to the forest for 14 years. It's horrible. But actually, it's one of the greatest things that ever happened in history. Because Ram's purpose of descending in this earth, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge, was to protect the innocent
to free the world of these horrible demons, asuras, and to reestablish the principles of religion. He was to go to the forest where he fulfilled all his mission. Another lesson, that our mission in life as human beings is to kill the demons within our hearts. Yes? We heard such nice description of Ravana from Gauranga Prabhu, how he had so many heads but no brains. I don't know which scripture that came from, but it was another quote from the Gauranga Samhita. He was very, very clever, but no brains, according to him. Ravana represents arrogance and kama, lust. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, Viradha, all of these asuras, they must be slayed within our hearts. Sometimes very difficult reversals, serious problems that come into our life are necessary to help us to fulfill our higher purpose. And one who is fixed in truth will see every situation as an opportunity to progress. Even to such extremes of being banished to the forest for 14 years and losing everything. Ram understood this was the opportunity to fulfill his mission. So yes, when reversals come in our lives, even crises, even traumas, they will help us to fulfill our mission. If we keep our goal set and fixed before our eyes. Krishna tells in Gita, vyabhashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hyanantascha buddhayo vyabhashayana. We must be resolute in purpose. We must be seeking the essence. We must know what our goal of life is. And whatever comes upon us, it will help us to reach that goal. For the rest of us, Ram is showing the example. For the rest of us, we have our karmas. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. According to one action, there will be another reaction. The laws of karma are like the laws of gravity. What goes up must come down. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. You cannot escape. It's a law. But Krishna tells in Gita, sarva dharman purityajya mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha yishami masaja. If we surrender to God, we are free of karma. How is that? Because when we perform our work as an offering to the Supreme Lord, it is no longer within the realm of material existence. Just like gravity, the law is only in effect within the atmosphere of the earth. But once you go beyond the atmosphere of the earth, you can float. The law of gravity is no longer relevant. When we surrender to Krishna, when when we offer our food to Krishna, when we offer our actions to Krishna, when we offer our words to Krishna sincerely, we come out of the limitations of material existence. And those actions are free of karma. So Ram leaves. And everyone in Ayodhya comes with him. How can they give up Ram? They would rather be in the forest for 14 years than to be in their beautiful, comfortable homes without Ram. That's a lesson. Are we willing to lose Ram for the purpose of our own worldly comforts and enjoyments? It is a test that every aspiring transcendentalist must face. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to give up your comforts, but you make your priorities. If that's what's necessary, you're willing to do so. But they walked and they walked and they walked all day long. And then near the bank of the Ganges, they all fell asleep. And what happened when they fell asleep? Ram left with Lakshman and Sita. Harivo. It's another lesson. If you want to establish Ram Raj within, you have to stay awake. Especially during Katha. But if we're not alert, doesn't mean we give up sleeping, but it means we have to stay alert. We have to stay alert to our sadhana. We have to stay alert to our goals, to understanding, you know, what is favorable for my real purpose of life and what is unfavorable. If we become lethargic, then we lose our vision. We even lose our taste for bhakti if we are inattentive. One of the offenses of the holy name is to be inattentive. If we are inattentive in the execution of our chanting, of our devotional life, then we lose our taste for the Lord. So Bharat comes back. I'm going to go real quick, so please don't leave yet. Bharat returns, and he sees that the whole Ayodhya is cast into an ocean of lamentation. And then he finds out from his mother that you're going to be the next king because of me. He disowned her. You are not my mother. You are my enemy. Hare Krishna. Now, does that sound cruel? It was not cruel. It was compassionate. Because only when he said that did it make sense to her, the bad thing that she had done. Sometimes a doctor inflicts pain on the patient for a higher purpose. So saintly people on the path of truth sometimes may have to cause pain to others, but for a higher purpose. Not with a desire to harm them, but ultimately with the desire to help them. Look at Prahlad. Little 5-year-old Prahlad, he caused a lot of pain to his father, Hiranyakashipu. He made his father miserable. But he didn't want to hurt his father. But he understood that if he became a pure devotee, his father would be liberated. If I do what my father says,
If I follow my father's path, we'll both go to hell. If I surrender to the Lord, my father will get liberated. So even though it causes him some pain temporarily, ultimately it's best for him, it's best for me, it's best for everybody. Then Bharata, he goes with the citizens of Ayodhya, Vishishta Muni, and everyone. Dasarath Maharaj is already dead. He could not bear the separation from Ram. But Bharat goes to convince Ram to come back from Chitrakoot to Ayodhya to become king. Ram refuses. Now, for Bharat, it was a small surrender for Bharat to stay in the forest for 14 years so that Ram could come back. He wanted to do that. It was a big surrender for him to go back and be king. But that is what Ram wanted him to do. And ultimately, his goal was to please the Lord Sri Ram. And he took Ram's wooden sandals and placed them on the throne and worshiped them as king. And he remained in the little village of Nandigram, living like an ascetic in his own personal life. But he performed all the duties of a royal king with none of the comforts or facilities. They all belonged to Ram in the form of his shoes. He was the caretaker. In order to establish Ram Raj within, an essential principle: nothing is ours. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shanti mrichchati. Everything is the property of the Supreme Lord. And everything is ultimately meant for his enjoyment, and he is the supreme well-wisher of every living being. One who understands these principles, Gita says, can achieve real peace. We are caretaker. It is not my wife or husband. It is not my children. They're God's children. God's husband, God's wife, God's mother and father. We are the caretakers. Whatever wealth we have, whatever intelligence we have, whatever abilities we have, God could give, God could take away. Punar Mushtaka Bhava. The Lord can make a mouse into a lion, but just as easily can make a lion into a mouse. So what is ours? We are caretakers. And a caretaker acts according to the will of the proprietor. Yes? If you have a nice estate and you have a caretaker, the caretaker is supposed to run the estate according to your direction. But when we start thinking in terms of janasya mohoya mahamma meti, I am this body, I am in this position, and all these things are mine, so much conflict. It's really amazing, isn't it? I mean, compare this to the world today. Here's Bharat begging Ram to be the king so he could stay in the forest. And here's Ram begging Bharat to go back and be the king so that he could stay in the forest. How many times today we see brothers fighting over wealth, fighting over position, fighting over prestige? Even when they have so much, still they fight because they want more. Because they do not understand. for caretakers, what is the will of Ram in this situation? So Ram was in the forest in Chitrakoot. So many beautiful pastimes took place there. But there was a problem in Chitrakoot. No demons came. They were just happy. Chitrakoot was like Vrindavan for Sita and Ram. They didn't even miss Ayodhya. The Mandakini Ganga and so many sages and rishis performing yajnas and having katas and a beautiful forest with flower blossoming trees and fruits. But Ram had a mission, so he left Chitrakoot to go deeper and deeper into the Dandakaranya forest, where he came to Maharashtra, Panchavati. There, Suparnaka. Suparnaka happened to be Ravana's sister. And she had mystic powers. Now, by our calculations, because beauty is a very relative thing. Do you know why there's so many rats and cockroaches in Bombay? Because they really think that each other are beautiful. It's a fact. When that female cockroach moves, the way she moves her legs, the way she glances from side to side, enchanting, enticing, uncontrollable. How can I resist? Yes? So everyone sees beauty according to their particular state of consciousness. Now, you and me, we can't even tell the difference between a male and female cockroach. But a cockroach can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. Hare Krishna, we're just big, ugly monsters. To a cockroach. So Suparnaka, she was a very, very big, ugly Rakshashi. But she had supernatural powers because she had performed great austerities and received benedictions from Brahma. And she could change her form. She changed her form into a beautiful woman. She wanted Ram to be her consort. And she approached Ram, Lakshman, and Sita and expressed her desires. But Ram, you know the story. I'm married to Sita. But my brother Lakshman, he's all alone. He would be a good partner for you. So she turned to Lakshman, and she was really lusty. And Lakshman said, but you are such an exalted personality, you would never be happy to be the consort of somebody else's servant. I'm just the servant of Ram. You should go to Ram. And then she realized that it was Sita that was coming between her and Ram. So she went to kill Sita. Who is Sita? Sita is bhakti. Sita is compassion. Sita is the feminine divinity. What is the difference between Rama and Sita? They are the one supreme person. This the Shastras explain. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Hladini Shakti Rashmat. That the one absolute truth takes two forms. The supreme enjoyer and the supreme enjoyed. The supreme beloved and the supreme lover. That is Ram and Sita, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. So Sita is the essence and the origin of all devotion, of love. Suparnaka wanted to kill. Lakshman took his arrow and sliced off her nose. Hare Krishna. Thus, today, we go on pilgrimage to Nasik, the place where the nose is cut. Now, what can we learn from here? Very, very special. That anybody could make a show of being great, but when we're tested, when we're cut, then our real colors come out. Have you, any of you, had that experience? Somebody can appear very honest and very pious, but when there's a serious test, where's their honesty? They become thieves, they become crooks. Somebody could be very, very respectful, but when there's a test, when they have something to lose, when their nose is cut, in one way or another, who they are really comes out. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, the one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Very important. I'll repeat that again. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Suparnaka was appearing like a charming, beautiful woman, but when she was provoked, she was ready to kill, to destroy. Her beautiful facade was gone, and her real form was manifested. So if we want to establish Ramraj within, we have to live with integrity. What is integrity? The opposite of Suparnaka. That we live with the proper character, with the proper honesty, with the proper humility, with the proper self-control, seeking the essence, no matter what. However difficult, however many people cut us, however many tests and provoking situations come. That is greatness according to God's estimation. Now, Sita is bhakti. She cannot be attained by deception. We have to be honest, we have to be real. Ravana wanted to steal Sita. But what did he get? False Sita. According to the Kurma Purana, Ram knew that Ravana was coming, and he exchanged a real Sita for a Maya Sita. Looked the same, but was not. Ravana approached Maricha. Maricha was a mystic yogi who had already been defeated by Ram twice before. He was like Maya, illusion. Ravana told Maricha, I want you to disguise yourself as such a beautiful golden deer to allure Ram and Lakshman away from Sita so that I could steal her. Maricha said, are you crazy? Are you a fool? Ram is the Supreme Lord. I know. I'm living here as a hermit out of fear of Ram.
your entire dynasty will be destroyed. Just be content. You have a golden kingdom. You have more wealth than anyone in the universe. You have beautiful wives. Be happy with what you have, Ravana. But Krishna tells in Gita that this lust, it burns like fire. Greed also burns like fire. No matter how much you have, you need more and more and more. Greed and lust are never satiated. And the more you have, the more you're inclined to arrogance and envy. It's interesting, isn't it? You think people who don't have much are envious of people who have much. But that's usually small-time envy. But people who have a lot, when they're envious of somebody who has more, that's big-time envy. Really burns, very deep. So, Maricha came as a golden deer. And like Maya, he appeared that he would give great happiness. But actually, only purpose is to cause distress. Prabhupada defines Maya as that which is not. We're attracted with temptations in this world, thinking, this will make me happy. If I have this, if I am this, if I get this, I will be happy. But actually, it's like a spider's web. The spider's webs we see, they're very symbolic of how the whole world works. What's the problem? We're the flies. For the fly, there is nothing more beautiful than a spider web. You know, they're just flying around all day and they're landing on all these hard surfaces. And here's, it's like this really nice, soft web. They can just relax. It's perfect. It's the most attractive thing to a fly is a spider web. It just looks so comfortable, so appealing. But the problem is it's not what it appears to be. It traps you and causes you suffering. So we should be looking into the substance. It is said we should see through the eyes of the scriptures, not through these eyes. If we see through the eyes of scriptures, we could see what as it is. If we see through these eyes, everything appears to be something. It's really not. False promises is what Maya is all about. Birth after birth after birth. She's promising that our happiness is in proportion to the position we have, the possessions we acquire. But actual happiness is according to the substance of who we are. Whether we have much or whether we have little, real happiness is in our own meaningful, substantial life and how we're connected to the divine. So Maricha, bewildered. How could Sita be bewildered? It was all for the pastime of the Lord. But part of the pastime is to teach us good lessons. Sita is never bewildered. But for the sake of teaching us, she appears to be bewildered. Ram and Lakshman chase after Maricha on Sita's appeal. And eventually, Ravana appears, disguised as a sage. And somehow or other tempts Sita out of that circle that Lakshman drew around her to protect her.
That is the power of Maya also. She knows where, Maya knows where we're weak. What was Sita's weakness? Her love to serve sages and rishis. Is that a weakness? That's the greatest strength anyone could have. But Maya will even try to make our strengths into weaknesses. To somehow or other get us out of the circle of the instructions of the great souls and of our own spiritual disciplines. Ravana took her away. And the great Jatayu, the bird friend of Ram, fought an impossible war against Ravana. He was very old. Ravana was very young and strong. He fought and he fought even though he knew he couldn't win. Even Sita told him, don't fight. You'll die. You can't do it. But he would rather suffer and die than stand there and not do something about a great injustice. That was the integrity of Jatayu. And he fought to his capacity, and he lost. But in the end, Ram came, put him on his lap, embraced him, and sent him back home, back to Godhead, the ultimate victory. Good lesson. That if we fight for the right cause with determination, you will be victorious. Because if we please Krishna, if we please Ram, that is our victory. And that's the teaching of Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna, fight this war for me. Whether you win or lose is not important. If you win, you'll be the king of the world and you'll go back to Godhead. If you lose, you'll go back to Godhead. For Duryodhana, if he wins, he loses. And if he loses, he loses. Because he was doing it for his own greed. For Arjuna, whether he wins, or whether he loses, he wins. Because he's doing it for Ram. That was Jatayu. He tried his best. Even though it appeared that he lost, he gained the ultimate triumph. Because he pleased the Lord. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshana. That is the goal. That is our real victory. That is success, to please the Lord. Ram traveled looking for Sita. He ultimately came to Kishkindha Kshetra area, Pampa Sarovar, where he met Shabari. Have any of you ever met Shabari? She was an ascetic woman. From the caste perspective, she was an untouchable. She was not a literary, educated person. She was just a simple lady. But her guru, Matunga Rishi, she served him with faith. And her guru went back to Vaikuntha with all the disciples, but ordered her to stay back. How would you like that to happen to you? Everyone else goes, but you stay back alone. And he said, Ram will come, and when Ram comes, he will deliver you. She was there for years and years and years. Decades were passing, and she was waiting. But she didn't just wait. Rupa Goswami said two things are required for spiritual progress: enthusiasm and determination, and patience. How did Shabari exhibit these two qualities? Every day, she cleaned the whole area of her little hermit, of her little ashram, and she went and picked flowers and made little pathways to welcome Ram. Every day she picked these fruits, whatever little fruits were there. Some were bitter, some were sweet. She would taste them to make sure which ones were sweet. She just says, every day she worked really, really hard to prepare for Ram's arrival. And he didn't come for days, for weeks, for months, for years, for decades. But still she did it because she had faith in the words of her guru. And she had patience. And she never gave up. Because the Lord appears by his sweet will when he thinks it is best for us. A great lesson. Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Then the Lord met Hanuman, Sugriva. Sugriva heard about these two very, very beautiful, powerful people just below the mountain. And he sent Hanuman, who is this? And Hanuman disguised himself by his own mystical powers. He disguised himself as a learned Brahmin. But when he saw Ram and Lakshman, his heart melted. He didn't know who they were, but his heart melted. And ultimately, he resumed his original form. It's very important. The Lord knows who we are. We can't put on a show in front of God. We can disguise ourselves as great devotees, but the Lord knows what's happening inside. And he knows what you're doing when nobody else is looking. And ultimately, if we want to know Ram, we have to be honest with Ram. As time went on, to find Sita, Hanuman had to cross the ocean. And in a sense, the ocean represents the obstacles that come on the path of reaching Sita or pure devotion. The mind and its attachment are some of the biggest obstacles. In fact, it's the only obstacle. Krishna tells in the Gita, Banduratmat manastasya yena maivat manajata. That for one who controls the mind is the best of friend. For one who cannot do so, the mind is the worst enemy. So we have so many attachments within the mind. So many obstacles will approach. And Hanuman teaches us how to overcome them. First he grows himself very big, then he jumps. He was willing to do big things, but still maintained his humility. Then Mainaka Mountain, a golden mountain, rose from the sea and said, please rest on me. Take a little break. Hanuman touched it and said, thank you, but no, I have a mission. The temptation to seek comfort before seeking our real purpose. And then Surasa approached and opened her mouth really, really big. And Hanuman opened his mouth very big. I mean, Hanuman grew real big and she grew bigger and he grew bigger and she wanted to devour him. And ultimately, Hanuman just went inside and came out and say, okay, you made a vow, you got a benediction from Brahma that nobody could pass you without you eating them. Well, you ate me and now I came out, so. It's an obstacle. She was chastising him. She was calling him all kinds of bad things. When we're trying to strive for bhakti, people will criticize you. People will chastise you. People will misunderstand you. We have to tolerate those things and carry on. And then all of a sudden, while he was in the air, Simika, another demoness, grabbed Hanuman's
shadow, and he couldn't move. She is like the envy, the jealousy of the mind. When we're down in a, when we're in a lower position, we become envious of people in higher positions. And we want to stop their progress.
Yes.
Isn't that what jealousy is about? We can't tolerate somebody else in a higher position making more progress than us. We want to stop them by all means, by our words, by our prayers, by our actions. Hanuman ripped that demon apart. And in the same way, through our devotional service, we have to give up this envy. Because if we don't give up this envy, like Simika, that envy will devour us and stop our spiritual progress. Hanuman reached Sri Lanka, met Sita, gave her the message. Then wanted to do some extra service and started destroying the Ashok Grove of Ravana. Because he wanted to see Ravana face to face. And he was tied up and brought before Ravana. And Ravana was told by Hanuman that if you don't give up your lust for someone else's wife, Ram, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will come to destroy you and your entire dynasty. And Ravana could not tolerate that. He wanted to kill him, but he was told by Bibhishan, you can't kill a messenger. So they set his tail on fire. Hanuman grew and danced throughout the city, and the whole city was blazing with fire. And as he was about to leave, he called out, I am only the humble, insignificant servant of Ram, and see what I have done. Wait till Ram comes, Ravana. He jumped in the ocean, put his burning tail out. Now, how did Hanuman do that? Sita was praying for Hanuman. Sita was praying to Agnidev, the fire god, that let that fire on Hanuman's tail feel very cool. So Hanuman was enjoying like anything. Because he had the blessings of Sita. Meanwhile, Mandodari, who is the wife of Ravana, principal, beautiful lady, as well as Vibhishan, who is his brother, they're warning Ravana that give back Sita. Don't you see? Your whole city's blazing on fire from one monkey. Ram has millions of monkeys. And they're all gonna get us. What to speak of Ram? Don't you see it? Mandodari said, I'm beautiful, I'm your chaste wife, I'll give you everything. Just send Sita back. Ravana was furious. He was thinking Mandodari wanted him to send Sita back because she was afraid that Sita would be a competitor. He was thinking his wife was jealous of Sita. That's why he wanted to send her back. So he chastised his wife, who was his well-wisher, trying to save him. And Vibhishan was saying the same thing. And he considered his brother was taking sides with the enemy and exiled him. This is the nature of the Ravana within our mind. We have such arrogance, even when we're going off and someone comes to correct us, to give us good guidance. If we don't like what we hear,
the world is a mirror of our own consciousness. Because Ravana was envious, he was seeing his wife is talking because of envy. Because Ravana was so disloyal to the truth, he was considered Vibhishan was taking sides with the enemy. His best well-wishers, he could not understand their words. This is the quality of the demon of arrogance. We think we know. You think you know, you cannot learn. That's the principle of Bhagavad Gita. As long as Arjuna thought he knew, Krishna just stood there silently. But when Arjuna realized, I don't know anything, Krishna, save me, instruct me, then Krishna spoke the Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you want to know the truth, Krishna says, first thing you have to do is be submissive. To understand, I may have a PhD. I may have 10 PhDs. But I don't know myself and I don't know God. So I have to humble myself submissively to admit my own shortcoming and hear submissively with an eagerness to serve. There is no other way. There may be many fashionable new age types of ways to become a little more peaceful and feel a little more confident in your work and be a little more pious, which are good things. But to actually understand what is God, who is God, to understand the self, to transcend birth, old age, disease, and death, in other words, to know truth, there's no other way. We have to submit ourselves in a humble mood to hear from those who know and be willing to follow. That is why simplicity and humility are essential for spiritual progress. Because otherwise, if we hear something we don't like, I know better. That was Ravana. Hare Krishna. Should I continue?
No!
He wouldn't listen. And ultimately the battle. That great bridge was built where they were taking gigantic rocks, even mountain peaks, and throwing it in the ocean. Because there were millions of monkeys, they all had to cross the ocean. It was 800 miles. But the name of Ram made, no matter how heavy or light the rock was, the name of Ram made it float. So in this ocean of birth and death, no matter how big or small we are, whether we're little pebbles or whether we're mountain peaks, we're sinking. But if we take shelter of the name of Ram, we could always be above the ocean of birth and death by the mercy of Ram. It is that, for that reason, that the Lord has given all of us his holy names to chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And Kumbhakarna. After everyone else, all of Ravana's, his brothers, his generals, they were all getting destroyed. Then he called for his little brother, Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna told Ravana, you can't defeat Ram. It's not possible. Give Sita back.
Everyone was telling him, all his well-wishers, whereas those who were just trying to use him and exploit him were telling him, no, what do you have to be afraid of? You are the greatest. You defeated Indra. Fight. Indrajit was like that. But Kumbhakarna was honest. He said, yes, I'll go and I'll fight. You cannot defeat Ram. Once Ravana told him, no, you must fight, then he got in his spirit and said, yes, I will destroy him, I will devour him. Because that's the way Kshatriyas have to be to fight. He was defeated. Ravana saw every sign of his downfall. But yet, he was attached. When there's pride and when there's attachment, dhyayato vishayam pungsang sangatsyam jayatayate. Krishna tells in Gita, when you contemplate the objects of the senses, attachment. From attachment, lust. When lust is unfulfilled, anger. From anger, the memory is bewildered. When the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, we fall down. We're finished. Every stage is so perfectly exhibited by Ravana. Yes? Couldn't listen to anybody. Total loss of intelligence. And ultimately, the showdown between Ram and Ravana. The greatest fight ever. It was just the two of them, face to face, shooting arrows. They were fighting all day, too. When Ram wants to make things exciting, he really makes it exciting. Gauranga Prabhu was explaining, if Sita wanted to, she could have burned Ravana to ashes with one glance. She could have, with her little finger, just go, pfft, and he would have been dead. She's the pleasure potency of the Lord. And Ram, he didn't need all those monkey soldiers. He's the super soul within the heart. Just as the Paramatma in Ravana's heart, all he had to do is just go, psht, and turn his heart off. But for our sake, he makes things so exciting. He performs such beautiful pastimes that just by hearing about them, we become enthralled, we become attracted, we become purified, and he manifests himself. The more we hear about the Supreme Lord, the more we associate with the Lord. Because the Lord is all attractive, the more we associate with him, the more our love naturally grows for him. By hearing about Krishna, by hearing about Sri Ramchandra, the love within our heart that is dormant is awakened. It is the natural process. And therefore, it is the most powerful process. By meditating on an impersonal conception, we can feel real peace. But just by hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord, the dormant love within our heart is naturally, spontaneously awakened. So therefore, Ram performed such wonderful pastimes. And in this war, every time he cut off Ravana's heads, his heads grew back. 10 heads. And here's Ram, he takes bow and arrow, slices the head. And all the monkeys are cheering, Jai Ram!
Jai Ram!
But then the head grows back. Mm-hmm.
And then Ram.
Jai Ram!
He took 10 arrows to get them all. And all the 10 heads of Ravana are laying on the ground. And the monkeys are chanting. All 10 heads grow back. Ravana was mystic. So Vibhishan was a great devotee. He also teaches us a good lesson. He was exiled by Ravana. That means he lost his family. He lost his home. He lost everything. But what did he do? He went to Ram to surrender. Now, if you're fighting against Ravana and his brother comes, what would you do?
Hare Krishna.
When the monkey, Sugriva and the others, when they saw Vibhishan coming, they immediately wanted to kill him, Ravana's brother. And he says he wants to meet Ram. And they're thinking, this is bogus. Let's kill this rascal. He's Ravana's brother. What? He only means to do harm. And Vibhishan knew that. He heard them all talking. They were blaspheming him. They were criticizing him. They didn't trust him at all. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to imprison him. And ultimately, they went to Ram. So what should we do with this Vibhishan, Ravana's brother? He wants to meet you. He says he wants to surrender to you. We don't believe him. It's just a facade. He just wants to get in the inside and cause havoc.
Ram asked Hanuman, what is your opinion?
Hanuman said, I think he's very sincere.
Ravana said, bring him. Ram said, bring him.
Vibhishan was willing to risk everything, be misunderstood, be chastised, even by the devotees. Sometimes happens, you know. To surrender to the Lord. And he did. Vibhishan told Ramchandra that Ravana has celestial nectar stored in his heart. As long as that celestial nectar is within him, nothing could kill him. You could cut off his heads and his arms a million times and they'll keep growing back. He has those boons. But once you drain that nectar, you dry that out of his heart, he becomes like a mortal. Now, Ram knows everything. But in the battle against arrogance, in the battle against lust, in the battle against greed, in the battle against Maya, even Ram is taking counsel and advice from a devotee. Very important. What is our position? In the fight against illusion, at every stage, we need the association of devotees to help to straighten us out, to give us proper guidance, to put us back on track, without which we will fall. Then what did Ram do? He took the arrow given to him by Agastya Muni. Very powerful arrow. The grace of a sadhu was the arrow that he was going to kill Ravana with. He wanted to show the world, without the blessings of holy people, we could never kill these demons within our hearts. And he shot. He pulled his bow. He pulled the string of his bow back with the celebrated arrow of Agastya Muni. Released it. Into Ravana's heart. Dried the nectar up. Ravana started vomiting from his 10 mouths. Now that was quite a scene. Blood. And his eyes, his 20 eyes were rolling. His 20 arms were flailing all over the place and fell to the ground like a tree that has been cut down by a whirlwind. And all the monkeys. Just after this was done, the Lord coronated Vibhishan as king. And then the 14-year exile happened to just end at that time. So on the Pushpaka, on the chariot of Ravana, yes, he returned to Ayodhya. And when he returned first to Nandigram, where he was reunited with his brother Bharat, and then they had a procession into Ayodhya. And everyone put lamps, beautiful flames, to welcome Ram home. This is Diwali. To welcome Ram back home into our hearts. Light dispels darkness. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna Surya Sa Maya Haya Andhaka Yahan Krak Yahan Dhai Krishna Maya Adhikar. That Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. Where there is the sun, there cannot be darkness. Where there is the light of Krishna, the light of Ram, the darkness of ignorance and Maya cannot exist. That is what Diwali really represents. To light up our hearts, not with just some physical fire, but with the light of the Lord's grace. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting the glories of the Lord, by serving the Lord, by remembering the Lord, these processes of devotional service, they're not different than Krishna. They connect us with Krishna. They give light in the darkness of our hearts. And when the heart is fully illuminated, then we can experience Ramchandra within ourselves, and our love for him awakens. And in that love comes unconditional compassion to every living being. Then Ram Raj is established within us. And the most powerful and important of all means to illuminate our hearts with the presence of the Lord in this age of Kali is the chanting of his holy name. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So let us thank His Holiness Radharath Maharaj for this most wonderful presentation on establishing Ram Raj within by loudly chanting. So we have some announcements. There are gift vouchers have been distributed to first-timers, and they have to fill them and submit at the gift counter for gifts. So those who have come for the first time here,